If you were to sit in a doctor's office, beloved, and hear the doctor say, the tests have come back and the news isn't good, really, I'm so sorry to tell you, but you only have about a year to live. Would it change the way you live? Not physically, but would it change the way you lived spiritually? And if so, why? What difference does death make in the way you live? Remember the question I asked, beloved, at the opening of the program? Should the fact that you're going to die change the way that you live? Or should you live as if you were going to die at any moment? Well, I want us to go to Philippians chapter 1. Remember, we're walking through this book verse by verse so that you might discover for yourself what the Word of God has to say. And at this point in Paul's epistle, he's going to discuss living and he's going to discuss dying. Why? Remember, as we went through and we marked every reference to the author, to Paul and Timothy, but it's really Paul, we saw that Paul was in prison and he could have been facing death. He could have gotten a death sentence because he had appealed to Caesar and he had ended up in Rome. And so it could have ended in a death sentence. And Paul knew that. But did it change the way that he lived? Well, as we saw in our last program, Paul was very intent on getting the gospel out, seeing for the furtherance of the gospel, the defense and the confirmation of the gospel. As a matter of fact, when you go through and you mark every reference to the gospel, and then having observed the text, having seen this key repeated word, the gospel, and then making a list of what you learn, you see several things about the gospel. First of all, you see that in verse 7 that he is set in the defense and the confirmation of the gospel. He's out to defend this truth. He is also out to make sure that it is a confirmed truth. In other words, that it is lived out, that it is seen. And then you come down to verse 12, and he says, my circumstances have turned out to the furtherance of the gospel. So it was all right for him to be in prison because his goal was still being achieved. The gospel was still going forward. And then we come to verse 16, and he says that he is appointed again for the defense of the gospel. He wants to make sure that it is a pure message. Well, now, as we come down, he's asking for prayer. And in verse 19, this is what he says. He says, I know that this shall turn out to my deliverance through your prayers and the provision of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Now, when you see, I know that this shall turn out, you have to know what the this is. Well, to know what the this is, you look at the context. When you're studying the scripture and you're interpreting scripture to find out what does it mean, then you observe the text, you see what it says, and then you find out what does it mean. And one of the things that we teach you in your study guide is that you always look at context. Context, con with the text. What goes before and what goes after? What is the setting of this verse? What is the setting of the historical setting of the book? So context is king. And context, when I say it's king, I mean this. It rules over interpretation. I hope that by now you're saying, hey, I'm new to this program, but I want to know more about what you're saying because I've had a hunger within my heart to know God, to know Him more intimately, to know His Word. And I open it and I read it and I forget what I read. Well, you're not alone, beloved. That's happened to many. And it's happened to many because many times we read without thinking. We read without observing. We read without stopping to discover what it means. And many times we read and we fail to apply. So I want to urge you to go to our website. That's preceptsforlife.com. Preceptsforlife.com. And although this television program and this radio program that we do are both supported by the gifts of the listeners, and that's what enables us to be on the air, still, we want to make sure that each one of you has the opportunity to study the Word of God without cost. So you can download this on your computer, and you can study along with us, and you can learn how to grasp the truth of the Word of God. Well, let's go back and find out what the this is. I know that this shall turn out for my deliverance. Now, what is the this? The this is that people are preaching Christ, some with wrong motives and some with good motives. Go back to verse 18. What then? Only in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is proclaimed, and in this I rejoice, yes, and I will rejoice. For I know that this proclamation of the gospel by those that have an evil intent, they just want to make it more miserable for Paul, and they're doing it out of pretense. And those who are intent on seeing that the gospel comes out. Well, as you look at this, he says, I know that this proclamation of the gospel will turn out for my deliverance. How? Remember, we talked about prayer at the beginning of this epistle and the importance of prayer and how prayer can deliver us. And right here we see this. I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayers and the provision of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. In other words, it's two things that enables you and me to stand faithful. The first thing that he mentions here is prayer, us interceding on behalf of others that they will stand faithful and that an open door would be given to them for the gospel, etc. And then the second thing is the provision of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. And that means that what God has done is God has given you His Holy Spirit, and in giving you His Holy Spirit, He has put His Spirit within you. I was looking for my handkerchief, and I don't have it, but I take my handkerchief and I stick it inside as a symbol of the Holy Spirit. So just imagine that it's there. And so the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Jesus Christ. It's the Spirit of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And it's the Spirit that enables you to do what you're supposed to do. It's not by might, it's not by power, it's by my Spirit, says the Lord of hosts. The Spirit is power. And so this enables us to live. Now watch what he says. He says, according to my earnest expectation and hope that I shall not be put to shame in anything. He says, but with all boldness, Christ shall even now as always be exalted in my body. Now listen carefully, whether by life or by death. This is his earnest expectation. This is his hope. This is the driving passion of his life. It's Jesus. That's why the gospel is so on his heart. He wants people to know that there is redemption from hell, that there is salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ, that you don't have to be a slave to sin all your lives, but you can be redeemed. Not with corruptible things, but with the precious blood of the Lamb of God, without spot and without blemish. He wants people to know that. He also not is only speaking the Word of God, but he wants everything about his life to exalt God, to show the reality of Jesus Christ. You know, as I was coming down here, because I've broken my foot and I'm in a wheelchair, and my husband just wants to help me and everything. Well, we were in the kitchen. We were trying to get ready to come down here, and he, every morning, he makes a drink and he puts in it all these fruits. And so he doesn't put a lid on top of the blender because there's lots in there and nothing's going to go anywhere. And so he mixes it up and has it every morning. Well, I told him, I said, I want a protein drink. And so I was getting it, and there were people in the house, and I said, honey, I'll do it. Because I've got to put the lid on it. And he just missed that, and he wanted to help me so much that he turned it on without the lid, and it's all liquid. And I mean, it was all over. At that point, I had a choice. I had a choice whether to get mad. I had a choice to say, why didn't you listen to me? Or I had a choice just to help him mop it up and thank him for trying to help me. I had that choice. Now, the choice that I made was not according to my emotions, because according to my emotions, I wanted to say to him, Jack, why didn't you just wait? I mean, everything in my flesh wanted to do that. But I have the provision of the Spirit of Christ. And when I was sitting waiting for, you know, after all of this to get in the car and in my wheelchair and everything, I thought the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and gentleness, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And I have a choice to walk by the Spirit, or I have a choice to walk by the flesh. And so we have choices to make. Now, Paul's passion was to always make the choice to let Christ be exalted in his body, whether by life or by death, which was far more serious than getting, you know, a chocolate protein drink all over the kitchen, all over the counter, all over my husband's pants, all over my wheelchair. Life and death is far greater issue than that. What is Paul's desire, and what is your desire, beloved? We have to stop and think in any given situation, what do I want to do? What do I want to accomplish? Now, Paul's pattern of life was Christ. Watch what he goes on to say. I want Christ to be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death, for to me to live is Christ, but to die is gain. What is he saying? He's saying this, that if I get a death sentence, it doesn't matter how I'm going to live, because I've already been living the way I want to live. And the way I want to live is I want to live for Christ. I want everything that I do to be exalting to Jesus Christ. To live is Christ. To die is simply gain. Why? Why is to die gain? Is he out of his head? We'll talk about it after the break. Welcome back, beloved. We've gone from the gravity of getting a death sentence and hearing that you're only going to live for a year to a thing exploding in the blender and going all over. And yet both of those situations are part of life. We're all going to die. It's appointed unto man once to die. And after that, the judgment. So we're all going to die. There's no man that has ever lived without dying, except really two people. And that is Enoch, who walked with God and was not, because God took him. And that's Elijah, who was caught up to heaven to meet God. And I believe that those both have a purpose. And I believe that we're going to see possibly those two characters in the last days reappearing. But it is appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. The judgment that we will receive depends on the way that we live. Not just on the way that we die, but the way that we live. Remember, we have seen that there is a judgment seat of Christ where Christians will stand and where their deeds will be judged. We've seen, and I've told you, that there is a great white throne judgment that the lost people will stand at. And there they will be judged according to their deeds, and there they will be cast into the lake of fire, and their punishment will be according to the decree of their exposure. Now, to go deeper into that, you would have to study Revelation, but we're not going to go deeper into that now. But what I want to do is I want to talk a little bit about living, and I want to talk about dying. Now, for Paul, to live was Christ. To die was gain. Why was it gain? It was gain because he was going to see Jesus when he died. And if everything in his life was set on Jesus, then to be in the presence of Jesus would be even better than being on this earth and absent from Jesus. Let me take you back to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, in this passage, Paul is talking. He leads into it in chapter 4, and there are no chapter divisions, about not looking at the things which are seen because they're temporal, but looking at the things which are not seen because they are eternal. And then he talks in verses 1, in chapter 5, in verses 1 through 5, about the fact that someday we're going to put off this earthly tent and we're going to get a brand new body. We're going to have a heavenly tent, so to speak, a heavenly covering, a heavenly body. And then he goes on to say, he says in verse 6, therefore, being always of good courage, and knowing that while we are at home in this body, we are absent from the Lord. And so he says, for me to live is Christ. I'm living for him down here. But to die is gain, because I'm absent from the body and I'm going to be present with the Lord. Watch what he says. Therefore, being always of good courage, and knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. Remember, Paul said, for me to live is Christ. To die is gain. Why? Because when I'm in the body, I'm absent from the Lord. But once I die, I'm in the presence of God. You say, are you sure? Yeah, let's keep reading. It says, we walk by faith, not by sight. We know this because God has written it in his book. And we're not walking by sight because we haven't died yet, but we're living by the word of God. He says, therefore, we are of good courage, I say, and we prefer rather to be absent from the body and to be at home with the Lord. Did you hear what he said? I prefer to be absent from the body and at home with the Lord. That's why to die is gain. Now, if you get a death sentence, if you're sitting in the doctor's office and he says you only have a year to live, and all of a sudden you think, I've only got just 1 year to live. That's all. I've only got 12 months to live. How am I going to live? Well, beloved, if to live is Christ, you're going to continue to live the same way that you lived before. Because your passion, your goal is that Christ be exalted in your body, whether by life or by death. So the death sentence is really, to a child of God, not a terrible, horrible death sentence, because if you're really living for Christ and Christ consumes you and he is your all in all and you love him primarily above all others with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and all your strength, then when you get the news, hey, you're going to be at home with the Lord. And so you just want to continue living in such a way that Christ be exalted in your body. You say, but I love life down here. I understand. And I love life down here too, when it's nice and when it's easy and when it's without trials. It's very, very pleasant. But when all the trials come, it is very, very hard. And Paul was in the midst of trials, and yet those trials did not affect him. They did not change the way he lived, because for him to live was Christ, and to die was gain. Now, what's going to happen to us when we die? Well, I want us to take a look at it, but it's going to take this program and it's going to take the next program. So you want to make sure that you do not miss the next program. All right, let's go on and see what Paul is saying in Philippians chapter 1, verse 22. He says, but if I am to live on in the flesh, this will mean fruitful labor for me. And I don't know which to choose. In other words, I don't know which way to pray. He says, but I am hard pressed from both directions, having the desire to depart and to be with Christ, for that is very much better. He said, I want to depart and I want to be with Christ, because that is better. Now, it's better for the Christian, but it is not better for the lost person. What happens to you when you die? The minute that your heart stops beating, the minute that your spirit or your soul leaves your body, you are absent from the body and you are present with the Lord. I mean, you're immediately in His presence. And because you're immediately in His presence, but absent from that body, then that body is given a funeral of some sort. It's either cremated or it's buried. And what happens? It lays in that tomb until there is a resurrection. So let's look very quickly at that resurrection. And I want us to go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And he says, and Paul is writing, and he says, I'm going to show you a mystery. And a mystery is a truth that has been hidden until God chose for it to be revealed. And Paul had the privilege of revealing many mysteries. And this is what he says in verse 13. I do not want you to be uninformed, brethren, about those who fall asleep. Now, when he's talking about a Christian, he's talking about a Christian falling asleep, not a dead person. He says that those who fall asleep, that you may not grieve as the rest who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep in Jesus. I'm going to stop there, and I'm going to tell you that you don't need to miss next week's lesson. Because what happens is, when you go to be with Christ, when Christ gets ready to return, He brings you with Him. And then what happens? Well, we'll talk about it in our next program as we look at the resurrection of the dead.
The Encounter Student Conference is more than an experience. It is a weekend designed to encourage and equip students in the Word of God and establish a process of discipleship that they can continue to walk out in their homes and churches. Over the course of the weekend, students and their leaders will encounter God while learning practical skills that will allow them to dig into the Word through the inductive study method. It is our hope that these skills would equip students and leaders to build a lifestyle that constantly seeks to be transformed by God's truth. This year at the conference, your groups will walk together through the 40-minute study, Ignite Your Passion for God, to discover how to cultivate a deep desire for the Lord. The Encounter Student Conference will help your group create a community that is built on a common foundation, the truth that you are discovering together. Come and ignite your passion for God with us December 2nd through the 4th. Go to transformstudent.org and register today for the Encounter Student Conference.
Well, beloved, rather than take you any further in this subject, I want to stop and pause with a minute in these last few minutes of this program. And I want us to reflect on what we've heard. I want us to stop and think about what a death sentence might mean to us, because it's so important that you know where you're going to go when you die. Now remember, Paul's passion was Jesus Christ. And Paul's passion was Jesus Christ because he had an encounter with Jesus Christ. He was a persecutor of the gospel. He was a persecutor of those who were following the way of Jesus Christ. And he didn't like them at all. He thought that they had turned their back on God. He was a Jew who had not yet understood and believed that Jesus was the Messiah HaMashiach, that he was the Christ, that he was the promised one. And consequently, he was out to kill and to put to death all sorts of Christians, Jews that had come to know Jesus Christ. And then one day, on the way to Damascus, he was arrested by the Spirit of God, and he saw who Jesus was. He said, "Who art thou, Lord?" And he said, "I am Jesus whom thou art persecuting." And the minute that he discovered that Jesus was the Messiah, he committed his life to him, and he said, "What would you have me to do?" And then he became an instrument for God. But listen, if you do not know Christ, then you're going to die. And you're not going to be absent from the body and present with the Lord. You're going to be absent from the body and you're going to be in hell. You're going to spend time in hell until the great white throne judgment, and then you're going to be cast into the lake of fire. You don't want that to happen. I mean, if you get the death sentence from the doctor, and you hear that you're going to die in a year, and you don't know Jesus Christ, God has gotten you like this, and he's saying, "Listen to me, listen to me. You do not have to die. You do not have to perish. I gave Jesus to die on the cross for you. You can have forgiveness of sins. You can be assured that when you're absent from the body, you're present with the Lord. Listen to me and believe this good news of Jesus Christ and salvation through him." And what he's done by the sentence of death is he's grabbed you by the collar because he's trying to get your attention, because he wants you to come to know him. So all you have to do, beloved, is say, I believe, Jesus, you are God, and you will run my life from now on. You're my Savior, and I'm your child. You'll be saved then, and you'll have life.
Thank you for watching today's program. To study along with us, download your free copy of the Philippians Study Guide by logging onto our website at preceptsforlife.com or call us today at 1-800-763-1990. Join us next time as we continue our look into the Word of God.